the beauty of Jesus' humility and His meekness was, without the angels, as an unfallen man, He could have whopped them. That's North Mississippi, W-H-U-P-P-E-D. Here in Texas, we would have wanted Him to have been a good old boy. Busted a beer bottle over their heads. They did not want to hear, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And I want you to understand that that's the problem in the church today. Because we don't teach our young people growing up in the home God's principles, because we don't know them ourselves, beloved. They end up wanting to be macho football players, basketball players, da-da-da-da-da-da, not understanding that you can also be a peacemaker at the same time. Would you? Let us put some scripture to bear on this as we wind up for tonight, beloveds. Would you turn to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1. Look at me, if you would, beloveds, at verse 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross," having made peace. It's over. Peace is available, beloved. If you're in here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or if you're in here tonight and you do, but you don't have peace, it's because all we did was reload. We got the peace that passes understanding, but we declared another little side war with God over something. Because this says it's been done, having made peace. How? How? Here, oh, this is the unpopular part. Through the blood of His cross, not Buddha's. Look at that. Not Joseph Smith. Not Krishna. Through His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. This is how reconciliation is accomplished. This is how peace was made. Peace, beloved, was made through the cross, at the cross, though the cross itself was not peaceful. It was a horror. It was chaotic. Again, I'm trying to show you how wild things are that God does. He brings peace at a place of death. Unbelievable. That offends my philosophy of life. Do you see what I'm getting at? That is so offensive to my intellect. And it is to the people you'll be talking to. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember how we heard the gospel back when we were on the other side of the line, as Travis would have drawn for us there at the Alamo. Take another look at Scripture with me, beloveds. Look with me back to the left at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians. See, it's at the cross that the big R, righteousness, is made available, where it's provided. And that alone will make for real peace. I want you to understand that peace really isn't a thing anyway to obtain, to possess, to have. Peace really is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here with me, if you would, at verse 18. "All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself." How? By Jesus Christ. "And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Yeah, but the problem is we have to tell them about the blood on the cross to do it. And that offends the intellect. Nevertheless, beloved, that is the only way to bring peace. It says, to wit, this ministry, this reconciliation that Jesus brought about, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not just the elect, for those of you that are hyper-Calvinist. No, the world. God wrote it, I didn't, if you don't like what it says, to himself. Why? How? Not imputing their trespasses to them. Is that good news? Wouldn't you say, is that a peaceful statement? How would you like to see? You can give them some peaceful statements. How would you like to know that God is offering you a deal, you know, much better than the Godfather, one that you just can't turn down, whereby he will no longer lay sins to your account? Isn't that a good deal? See, that's worth listening to. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I'm always hearing people, hey, come up to me a lot, and Jack a lot, Lee a lot. You know, have you got a word from me, for me, from the Lord? What that tells me is you're not hearing from God for yourself. I remember one time Jack told this woman, yes, I have a word for you, Japan. You know, just to blow her mind and see what she would do with it. You know, I don't know what she did with it. But I remember one day that God gave me, I was teaching in a bar near on Allen Parkway near downtown Houston. Felt like a sheriff out of the old Wild West. Felt like a preacher out of the old Wild West. Came in, put my six guns on the bar and said, I'm going to tell you the gospel. And I'm fast. You know? You know? I taught in that bar for nearly a year. Got a lot of people converted. It was easy to get people to come to a Bible study at a bar. A lot of them got born again. But there was a Jewish couple there. Well, he was Jewish. And of course, she was this slimy Gentile that he had married and screwed everything up in the family. And they were lost. And they'd been there one time before. And when the meeting was over, everyone was jamming to this one little door to get out because they were going to work. And she was on the other side. You know, you're caught in a stream, you know, flooding toward the door. And she was on the other side of the stream. And I called her and I said, Donna, I have a word for you, one word for you from God. And I wish you could have seen the look on her face. It was one of those, oh, yeah, you know, one of those kind of looks. Looking at me just with total disdain. I said, forgiveness. And she had this hard look on her face. And it just stayed there frozen for just a few moments. And then she just broke. And she just started shoving the stream out of the way. She's just knocking people out of the way because God had found her. God had found her. And she shoved everybody out of the way and she just walked right up to me and just collapsed right on me. One word. That's the easiest conversion I ever had. What do I do next? That's all she wanted to know. What do I do next? You know, I said a little bit back that peacemaking is not avoiding the issue. I got a phone call the other night from Atlanta, Georgia. A couple there that used to come to the Bible study here. And they took a job over there. They called us about 10 months ago and had a problem in the family. His brother and sister-in-law had received some medical news that the baby might have some problems. And these were Christians. And so they did the Christian thing. They aborted. Now make sure we all understand what that means. They murdered the child. Okay? See, abortion is a high-class 20th century word that makes it sound okay. Now, this created a strife and a problem, because the little couple in Atlanta talked to them about it, tried to talk them out of it, warned them, and they went ahead with it. Then their parents, who are older people, my age, you know, they want to have a big family get-together. Everything's great. But there was an issue. See, it would have been easy if you had aborted being lost. But now you claim to be a Christian. You claim the name of Christ. And you are totally unrepentant. Defending. They called him and said, "We love you, but we won't even eat with you. We can't come because we're coming to a meal at the home." And they read them the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "We love you. We will always love you. But until you quit defending your sin and repent, there'll be no fellowship." Oh, the parents went out of their mind. They also, quote, were Christians. Baptist Christians. And it got bad. There were letters exchanged. There were visits trying to talk some sense into their heads about this ridiculous stand over nothing. Stand over nothing. They sent me some of the letters that they had written to see if I thought, you know, it was too strong, you know, trying to make sure that they, trying to bounce it off of someone that cared about them and hopefully could give them some godly counsel. The letters were loving, but absolutely unyielding. No compromise. "Can't wait for you guys to repent so we can all get together." And it went on and on and on and on and on. How many of you know that 10 months like that, 10 months, easy for me to just say the word, 10 months. Well, let me tell you, 10 months, day in and day out. Well, we got a phone call last week. And the mother and father were still furious. And they had gone over for one last try to talk some sense into their heads. So it got to a point there where he said, "Well, look, the problem is not with us. The problem is they won't repent." And at that time, the father said, "But they have repented. They told me they had repented." So now the kids call us and said, "But we don't think they have, and we don't know that." I said, "There's the perfect opportunity. Call them right now when we hang up. Call your brother-in-law and say, call him by name and say, 'Mom and Dad were just here, and they told me y'all had repented. And I just called you to tell you, hallelujah, I'm happy for you and want to rejoice with you.'" I said, "Now the ball's in their court. Let's see where it goes." They did. And they did. And it worked. I mean, right there, they got brought together right there. Just broke the barrier down. And I tell you that story to encourage you that peacemaking is not avoiding the issue. They restored their brother-in-law and sister-in-law to God by standing for something. Doesn't Christianity stand for something? Yes, it does, beloveds. Look what it says here. It says, "He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." The word I had that night was forgiveness. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Have you guys ever seen an ambassador on television? That's a good-looking get-up. You know, at a formal get-together, you know, the black outfit with the white, and then, you know, the flash across at the diagonal, multicolored. Magnificent. God says, "View yourself like that, because I'm the king." God says, "I'm the king. You're my ambassador. as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. That's the message. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the big R of God, the righteousness of God in him. See, that's the point. That's what I'm telling you about. The message of peace always carries with it that righteousness is now available through what Christ did. So, beloveds, some of us probably are sitting there thinking, and I hope you all are, okay, Floyd, then what do I do? Well, it's simple. What do I do to be a peacemaker? See, because it's the peacemakers that shall be called the children of God. That's a pretty good goal to attain, wouldn't you say? To be called the children of God. What do I do? Hey, you got it? It's so easy, you already know the answer. Most of you in here, 90% of you know the answer already. Number one, make peace with God for yourself. All right? Receive the gospel of Jesus. That's the initial peace with God, and there's none apart from that. The scriptures are very clear, beloved. They say that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. They say that unless someone must pay for that sin, either you pay for it or Jesus pays for it. If you pay for it, you have to go to hell forever. If you receive Jesus' payment on your behalf, it's over with for you right now. It's so easy, we can hardly believe it. Now, that'll settle it for you from an eternity standpoint. The next thing, for those of you that have already done that, is maintain the peace. See, in other words, Dave, you may have settled it between you and God, both you Daves here, Davids. Y'all may have settled it between you and God for all eternity. In other words, all right, my soul has been given to God. And you have that peace when you go to bed. But the problem is, I won't forgive Floyd for this thing that he's done. I won't do this. I'm walking in some overt act of rebellion. So that we're not maintaining the peace on a daily basis. And we've all know that one. That's the one that gets us all. So what do you do about that? Are you ready for this deep, dark, mysterious secret to unleash? Be quick to repent. And that's it. That's how hard it is to maintain the peace. Do you understand that tonight? Do you understand? I'm so glad I got to come. I'm a peacemaker tonight. Whew. I'm earning my wings to be called a child of God because I'm telling you guys how to have the peace with God. And in doing so, I'm a peacemaker. Okay? Amongst my own family, my brothers and sisters. That'll bring that out. I want you to see that in Scripture, though. I'm not content that I told you. Two Scriptures real quickly. Proverbs chapter 28, first of all. See, if I just tell you that, how do you know it's so? You say, well, I bore witness with that. There's a lot. Yeah, you know, you bear witness with everything Brother Floyd says. You take everything Brother Floyd says and go down to the bank, and you'll find out you need a lot more. And the same thing's true of the Bank of Heaven, Al. Be a Berean. Look at it. Verse 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. See, they're always talking about prosperity in the charismatic move. I'm talking about real prosperity here. Prosperity, to prosper means to be successful. It can involve money, but it doesn't have to have a jolly thing to do with money. I hope to prosper on my trip home tonight in the rain. I hope to have success. You get home through Houston driving on freeways, it's success. You've been successful. You prospered on your journey. All right? You hear what I'm saying to you? He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses, watch it, Catholics in here, there's no period after that, confesses and forsakes. Christianity is not the same thing as Catholicism. Okay? We confess and forsake. They shall have mercy. Now, when I told some of you that, see, that may have hurt you, may have made you angry at me, and now I have, quote, been offensive by telling you the truth. All right? But you see, I want you to have God's mercy, and therefore, or I'm not a man of God at all. And therefore, I've got to lay my life on the line, my reputation on the line. I've got to lay on the line whether you'll walk out and hate me or and talk bad about me. I've got to be willing to do that for you to have mercy from God. Okay? There is a price to pay. Oh, Isaiah, just to your right, chapter 55, one of my very favorite verses. Those of you that have been with me a long time, you've probably heard me say that a bit, nearly every verse in the Bible, but at the time, I really mean it. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake his way. No, don't not just confess. Forsake it. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Oh, no, not that. And let him return unto the Lord. Return means repent. And the result, once again, just like Psalm said, Proverbs, rather, 28. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. How do we get that abundance? We have to forsake and turn to God. We turn away from sin, that's forsaking it, and turn toward God. We're returning to God. Okay? So what I'm saying is, Zach, to maintain it on a daily basis, keep short records. Keep the records, keep the sin debt load account up to snuff. Keep, you know, keep a short record.
Current.
Keep current. There's the word I'm looking for. Number two about what we can do is help others make peace with God. Number one, evangelize, the Great Commission. And number three, oh, let me say this. Before I do that one, I've got a verse for you in Romans chapter 10. Take a look there with me. Romans 10. That'll encourage us. We need encouragement because we're going to get eaten alive. What? Isn't that what they did to Jesus? Come on.
Amen.
How about the apostles? You know? Look with me, if you would, beloved, at verse 14, 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Don't think that means a preacher in a pulpit. It means a preacher in the sense of a proclaimer, someone that just will tell it. And how shall they proclaim except they be sent, as it is written? Here's the part you needed, the encouragement. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. That's what this is, the word gospel. Glad tidings, good news. And bring glad tidings of good things. I love that phrase, don't you? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. See, we're walking somewhere, and as we walk, as we're going along the way, as you go into the world, you do it. God says, what beautiful feet you have. Isn't that great? Your podiatrist didn't say that. He's looking at that big knot on the side of your foot saying, man, I need to cut that sucker off. You know, but God says, what beautiful feet you've got. You know, some of you like me, your second toe is longer than your first toe, and that little sucker's always getting hurt. You know, it's always getting in the way. God says, beautiful. Well, you say, golly, isn't that great? I'm going to have beautiful feet. It's going to be great. No, read the next verse. We got to get the whole truth. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. When you give it, they're not all going to obey it. So don't be discouraged. You still have beautiful feet. All right. Hallelujah. Number three and lastly. Now, this one's where the rubber meets the road. Be at peace with others. To be a peacemaker, we have to be at peace with others. See, first, we've got to have peace between us and God. And it's got to be maintained on a daily level. Second, we help others find peace with God. In the sense of the gospel, coming to God and finding the peace that passes understanding through the cross. You know why it's the peace that passes understanding? Listen, everyone in this room has troubles. Job problems, problems with people in your family. There's all kinds of problems in this room. Health problems. Goodness gracious. Problems right here in River City. I go to bed at night with tons of problems, but I have a peace. And it never fails me. It never does. There's a peace that's deeper than the little small tornado on the fringe of my heart. And that peace is, I know that if I die, I'll be with Jesus forever. Amen. And my wife will, and my children. The people I love most in this world, my two older daughters, granddaughters, that are old enough to understand the gospel, have made professions of faith. I hope they meant it. Time will tell whether it was a hopeful conversion or we need to redo this thing. Two little ramrods for grandsons. Oh, let me tell you, I pray for their souls every day. I see what a difficult case this is going to be. I see two little Floyd Nolans. Do you hear what I said? And both of them were named from, both of them are Nolans also. And it's well known that there's a long line of rebellious, hard-headed Nolans. Now, the hard part, beloved, is to be at peace with others. It isn't easy. What God wants, your part, my part, is to be willing. Because the Scripture says, and we need to read it, so take us, you're at Romans, take a quick look at Romans 12. Because God does understand. How many of you know that? How many of you know it's hard to not have a war when the other guy is shooting? You know what I mean? Romans chapter 12. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Did you see that God saw that there were some jerks in the world that you couldn't live at peace with? How many of you can tell that from that verse? I can. Some of you married them. And some of you think you did, and they know it's you. All right, so listen to me, listen to me. Did you see, though, that God wants you and me to be willing? God shows us here. There are some people you just can't have a moment's peace around. They're not happy without a crisis a minute.